So, John Paul Music, we met at the Birmingham Guitar Show early this year, probably about February, I think, just by chance in the food hall type thing. We were kicking around and I was handing flyers out and you were sitting there eating your lunch or whatever. And, and we got chatting a little bit. And that was where it, that's where it came from. And then it took until now, 6 months or so later, whatever it is, to try and get something to have a little chat about what we're up to, what you're up to, more so. You were telling me about the looping, and I was quite interested in that because I've tried a bit of it and I sort of failed terribly. And I want to know, and I want you to explain to us all now what is going on with looping, where are we at, what's good, what's bad, what works, what doesn't work. And what should we be doing if we want to get into it and make it work? So tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, and what you're up to lately.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, so first of all, thank you very much for having me. My name is John Paul, JP, everyone calls me JP. The channel is John Paul Music UK, and I started that in 2019. And then I did a video in 2020, which was exactly the same week when we went into lockdown, which was how to live stream for musicians, a step-by-step guide. That kind of just exploded, of course, because every pub and club just closed. Yeah. And then my big sort of like, you know, unique part of the channel is looping. This is my podcast, How to Loop. I've always done looping. I've done it for years, and I've done it before there was Quantize, and it was hard. Very luckily, because of the work I've done on YouTube, I've been contacted by a couple of the manufacturers and they've sent me pedals to showcase, which is fantastic. And then from there, tutorials have happened. So the channel is kind of more tutorial based, but also the thing I always say is it's tools for the modern musician. So we talk about live streaming, it's about live looping, cameras that you might need for live streaming, for example, like this one is a PTZ camera. So as you, it's an AI one. So as you move, you can have it follow you. And yeah, looping's been my bag now. Like I'm a gigging musician. I always have been. And I've been doing that, well, since my teenage years. I'm gonna be 46 in December. So I've been gigging for, you know, years, but looping wise, I've been doing that for, I think we're now on 18-19 years. I've been through it, I've been through the mud, which is good because I can then sort of like tell people about how basically the pitfalls, and you know, don't go down that avenue, or if you do go down that avenue, watch out for this thing. And that's kind of the thing I'm looking at, really.
So what, for people who are not fully aware, in a very basic form, a looper is, in its initial press, is like a delay pedal, It just repeats what you put in.
No. It's, okay, so basically, like, I mean, the first loopers were tape delays. They were tape delay machines. Yeah. They were. So it is a delay pedal in that respect. The problem with a delay pedal is it has a like a saturation, so it has like a sort of like 98%, 97%. So as you just carry on looping, the first thing you did, or the, if you carry on, you know, like a tape machine, it degrades. So that first loop you put down will start getting either quieter or start degrading. That's the difference between a tape machine and a looper. A looper now, a modern day looper, records in the highest quality possible and stays there. And the way I always explain it is it's a live recording. So it's just basically recording in the moment. There's obviously, you know, backing tracks. I say that at gigs, you know, what you're seeing is a live recording that'll never happen again. It's in the moment and we're creating it now. So you, with your most basic looper, like your ditto loopers and like the one pedal loopers and things like that, you can just carry on adding stuff on the top, but then you get to this point where it's just a wall of sound, or you get to the point where it's just basically, it's too much. It's too, you know, you've added too much and it's a bit like, oh.
Well, you're kind of mixing it on the fly, I suppose, aren't you? As you input
you get to the point where you're producing on the fly, absolutely. And you're getting to this point where you're, certainly with the bigger loopers, you're splitting things up. That's all you're doing. It's it's the same looper, but more of them. So you've got the big Shearing Looper X has got four tracks. You've got the Boss RC600's got six tracks. And you're kind of producing yourself live at that point. And then there's some people who go the app way. So they go like Loopy and Loopy Pro. There's some people who do Ableton Live. I don't do Ableton massively. I've played with it, but it's not my bag. I prefer hardware loopers mainly. And I've done whole gigs with just like my phone and an app. a looping app, you know, and a microphone, and I've done a cappella stuff. But I do, like, normally as a gigging musician, I'll do my own stuff or do cover gigs. I'll do cover gigs. I'll do like a 2-hour show, like in a bar, doing a lot of covers, and it's all looped live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool. Okay. So let's say I want to go and do that. I can play a bit of guitar. I can do a bit of singing. What looper do I go and get to kick me off?
So the thing with that is basically, you've said it at the beginning, you said what 90% of people have said, which is like, I've got a looper, I'm pretty good at guitar, pretty good at this, pretty good at that, I can't do looping. And I know timing, I know 1, 2, 3, 4, I know 6, 8, I know this, that, and the other, I know 3, 4, but I can't get looping down. And the people who can get looping down the best, ironically, are drummers.
Right.
Because what they are aware of, they're aware of the entire gap of the 4 bars.
Mm.
Timing is everything. So if you just want to loop a guitar, just a guitar, not anything else, and you just want to put like a rhythm down and twiddle or solo over the top or something like that, a single phrase looper, like a Boss RC5 or a Ditto looper, is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can get loopers that have got drum machines added into them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Donner Circle Looper or the Moor. There's a new sort of range coming out from Valiton at the moment, so the Valiton VLPs. There's absolutely loads.
Mm.
You can pick up a cheap looper for about 40 quid, from Amazon. One thing I would say is the game's changed a little bit in terms of performance over the past couple of years.
Mm.
There's three things, which is record, overdub, and play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so record your first loop, you can overdub over the top, and then it plays, and then you want to stop it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. There's two extra things that you want if you want to kind of take it to the next level a little bit, which is undo and redo.
Yeah.
So if you've made a mistake, being able to undo, and then also being able to bring it back, because some people use the undo a little bit like a second track.
Yeah.
So you put harmonies on or something, take them away, and then bring them back.
Mm.
So the loopers that can do undo and redo, they're brilliant because it means you can be more creative with them. You can have a go with them and do more things.
Yeah.
Loopers that get slapped onto the end of something, like there's a speaker that's got a looper built into it, like really basic. It is exactly what it is. It's really basic. It's like a one pedal basic looper. So you can't be, you have to think about what you're putting down. And I think it's like, if you play rhythm guitar and you sing as well, you have to think about playing and singing at the same time to the point where you'll just do it.
It's like
riding the bike. So with looping, what you have to do is you have to think about the order you're putting things in. Like you go, well, that's the verse, that's the bridge, that's the chorus. Like, for example, that's the I beatbox. Not everyone beatboxes. I don't do beatboxing, really. I don't consider myself a beatboxer, but I do enough to get by. And then so I go, right, that's the rhythm bit. Then I'm going to put down the bass line, and then I'm going to put down some chords or some harmonies. And the key thing is to sit in your groove. If you can't sit in your own groove, I can't listen to it. You know, if it skips a little bit or it sounds like a CD like skipping, I can't listen to it. So the key thing is to get the very, very first loop right.
That is
the key thing.
So is it the case that, let's say I'm using something like a Ditto or a single channel loop or something along them lines, but I want to record my vocal and I want to record my guitar and maybe even pick another instrument, I can funnel all that through a little mixer and then into the
so
looper.
There's two ways of doing it. So you could grab a mixer, so like grab a mini mixer, plug everything into that, and then the output of that goes into the looper, and of course the output goes to wherever. One thing that'll happen with that, though, is, of course, is whether you're going to, that's going to a PA or that's going to an amp.
Because
if it's going to an amp, your vocals are going to sound weird.
Because
it's going to an amp. And if you hit distortion on your amp, it's going to sort the whole loop. That's why you need things. Yeah. If you've got an amp with a send return, you put the looper through a send return. As opposed to through the mixer.
Yeah, but I suppose having a little mixer gives you a bit more flexibility. And I guess you could run a little click track probably in your ear somewhere down the line if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could do. I mean, that would have to come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
The little mini ones don't have that. You know, or if you've got like a looper that's also got a drum machine, you could send the drum machine to yourself, maybe. Or copy of it. But where you start really getting expansion is where you get like the 2-track and 3-track loopers. Because they'll have XLR inputs, they'll have multiple inputs, but you also have multiple outputs as well. So you could start routing things, so the left is the guitar, the right is the vocal, Yeah. Things like that.
Exactly. I mean, I decided that when I wanted a looper, I think it was around COVID time maybe or something around there before, I decided I was going to get the Boss RC, would it be the 300 or something with about four pedals on?
Yeah. Yeah, the 300's got three tracks. It's got like an expression pedal.
Yeah,
on the
yeah, yeah, that's yeah. it. So I yeah. get that. Yeah. And I thought, this is it now. I'm all over it. I'm going to go loop mad. No, didn't work. I mean, I got the gist of it, but I just couldn't get my head around what I wanted to do next and how I wanted to configure it and all that. And I ended up yeah. not using it because I'd gone further, a bit more than I wanted to get. You know, I got this idea that it was much simpler than it actually is when you get yeah. to that, like you just said, a bit more of a complex level.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I think a lot of people have this conception of, as I said before, you play an instrument, therefore I know timing, therefore it should just grab my timing. And this is also why we were talking about like things like the Ditto loopers. And ironically, at the Birmingham Guitar and Bass Festival, I was talking to the pedal guy, you know, the guitar geek, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
And Andy, basically, I agree with Andy now in the sense of like you got these little one pedal loopers. The downside of them, you got to double tap that to stop, which while you're playing is a nightmare. Mm. I'd highly recommend going for a two button looper,
yeah.
or if it's a one button looper, it's got the expansion to get like a little second pedal,
yeah,
so
you
can press things. You can be so creative with a start and a stop, and you can just go and like start, and you can do drop downs and things like that, or breakdowns just by bringing it at a stop and a start, a dedicated, or even if it's the same pedal at stop start, just that one thing of pressing once. Because if you have to double tap whilst you're playing,
oh, yeah.
it proper throws you off.
Worse is having to press two switches at once. I've seen some units where you've got to do something.
There's
you've got
a guy
to press
I know
two at once.
There's a guy I know who he sits down playing so he can use both feet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to sit down, but he sits down so he can actually go stop that, but start that one.
And yeah.
He's really good at it. He's really good. But it's one of those where he said, well, I haven't got enough feet. I'm pedal dancing now.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things where the more advanced loopers, even things like the Boss RC5, which is a one pedal looper, there's settings in there where you can turn around and go, okay, well, I'm using the rhythm section. I can go auto looping, so you can dictate how many bars it is. So if you know how many bars the track is, so if the track is four bars long, like you know, you're doing a rhythm section and it's four bars long, you can do it where you can press the button, or you can change it in the settings of some loopers where you can go, well, this loop out of the however memories it stores, but this specific one's going to be four bars long.
Sure.
So you tell it that, and then you don't have to press the button.
No.
So you just go record. You record it, and most people fail not when they hit record, but when they hit the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where they fail. Whereas if you can reduce that or stop that from happening, it'll just automatically do it anyway. And if you're playing along to a rhythm section, you're kind of in the groove anyway.
Yeah.
So it becomes much easier. I think the single pedal, single loopers that don't have a rhythm section, they're harder, actually.
When I sort of half got it, I felt that if I just keep playing and press the button, so especially like you said, start playing, start it, but then keep playing when I stop it, it kind of it allows the timing and the flow a bit better.
So it's the end of the phrase. When most people play the end of the phrase, there's a tiny little gap of air that most people go,
you're concentrating on pressing the pedal at the right time.
And you panic, and there's a natural panic in there. So once you get through that, that's why you'll see a lot of my performances, I'll actually put something down first. So I don't use a rhythm section, as I say. I sort of like create my beats. I'll use what I call rhythmic strumming. So with one of the guitars, I'll go, and it just like to get that rhythmic in. That's it then. That's the first loop.
Sure.
So then that's solid. So then everything else ties to that. So it is hard. This is why I also do courses. So I do courses about how you loop. I've got a beginner's course. I've got courses about the specific pedals as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud to say they're quite popular, because people get a pedal and then they instantly find this issue of struggle.
Sure,
and then I'm glad to say I'm able to help people with that. So it's quite good.
Well, we'll drop all the links to all of that stuff in the description for the video, and people can check that out and contact you if they want any more help with all that sort of thing. So let's go to the other end of the spectrum. I've got a bottomless pit of cash. Good. And I want to buy all the best gear I can to do looping to the highest level. What am I going to go and buy now?
Wow. Okay. Your top tier is either there's three. There's three that come into mind in my brain straight. Well, actually, there's four. See, this is the problem. I can go through a load of manufacturers. So it depends on what you want to do. And what I mean by that is you've got three different options. You've got a pedal, you've got tabletop looping, mm-hmm. and you've got apps.
Okay.
So they're the three doors that you can walk through.
Yeah.
You can either go, I want it to be a pedal, mm-hmm. I want it to control it with my hands, or I want an app.
Right.
Okay, which could also be controlled by a pedal, or you touch it, like an app on an iPad or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're going like full-blown money's no object, for the pedal stuff, you're either looking at the Boss RC600, mm-hmm. or you're looking at the Shearin Looper X, because those pedals are absolutely divine for pressing. But the RC600's got loads of customization. So that's your pedal ones. The tabletop one, there really is only one, which is the Boss RC505 Mark II, which is basically that one that looks like circles. It's got faders, and you see a lot of beatboxers using them. Mm. I've seen people actually do full-blown like club music with incredible, really incredible performances. And then from the app point of view, I'm very biased. There is only really one, which is Loopy Pro. Now, the downside of using a tablet or something like that is then you're going to need more gear. So you're going to need an audio interface. You're going to need, do you want to control, you still want to control that touching it, or do you also want a pedal to go with that as well? So that has got the most flexibility, bar none. You basically build your own looper with inside Loopy Pro. It's a completely blank canvas. And they've just brought out version 2, which now can do MIDI looping as well, which is incredible. However, you need more gear for gigging and stuff. I've built a rig. This rig I've had for a little while. This is battery powered. So that is the RC600 at the bottom with these custom pedals from Stadium Loopers. That's actually the same width as your RC300 pedal,
right?
So it gives it a bit more depth, and that's an extension. That's my vocal stuff, and that's all battery powered on one thing, ready to go. And that'll do about 5 or 6 hours.
And what was the other item in there? I saw on that above the orange and yellow one there, just above your thumb.
Above the orange and yellow one. Oh yeah. So this is an extension pedal. So it's four extra pedals that are plugged into this, so I can go memory up and memory down, or effects on, effects off, things like that.
Okay.
And then I've got an expression pedal here, which is a Sonic Ake expression pedal that actually controls the volume of just the loops, but not the volume of my inputs.
Okay.
So if I want to drop the loop down for a second, talk to the audience, or if I want to do it rhythmically, that's really cool as well. Yeah. So instead of going stop and start again, I can go
stop the whole thing.
Yeah, and then this is my holy grail that has died once and is still alive, which is the TC Helicon Voice Life Play Acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
That has a looper built into it. It's very basic, but it's got some of the best harmony and vocal work on there. So that is there. And then underneath, you can see it's all very, very tidy, nicely.
Yeah.
And this battery, which is the Harley Benton Power Plant Power Bank Mark II, and that actually powers the whole thing, and I can even charge my phone from it.
So what are you actually plugging into that then?
So I plug in on this, you can't really see it, but what I do is basically on the back of the TC Helicon, just here, I hope you can see that. That's mic in and guitar in.
Right, and that's
nice and simple. Mic and guitar in, XLR out that goes into the RC600. I don't use the jacks, I use the XLRs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go main out from the RC600 out to the PA.
Right.
So I can either go stereo out, or if I've got a bigger gig, what I can do with that is I can actually route it. So I can say, well, I've got vocal, guitar, and the loops.
Right.
So then an engineer can...
And if you use some sort of backing track or some kind of backing of any fashion, where do you insert that into that lot? Into the RC somewhere?
So if you were to do a backing track...
Yeah.
That can store 99 memories. So I would actually use one of the memories as a backing track.
On the RC.
I don't do backing tracks, but I've got I suppose they are backing tracks, really. I've got two songs that are pre-made loops.
Mm.
So there are loops, and there's six loops within that memory for two different covers.
Mm.
And it's just quicker to go, right, it's pre-made, hit it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they're still split up as like, that's one loops the drums, one loops the bass. So I can control it as if I've looped it.
Sure.
So you've got 99 memories. I think it's something ridiculous, like 13 hours of record time on the whole unit. So absolutely fine. So I've got one memory that's like set up the way I want in the routing that I want, and that is my preset.
Yeah,
and that's how I, and then once I've finished with that song, I just delete it and then just start again.
Right.
You can go up a memory and it keeps playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can change the memory to a different song, and they say it's the same BPM, and it'll seamlessly change.
Yeah.
So there's loads you can do with things like that, which is really, really clever. So that's kind of my looping rig. I am, as I say, messing around with the Shearing Looper X, which is the sort of premier one from them. The pedals are incredible. The software is really, really good. But it's just having that board to... I'm very, very grateful that these companies have kind of, you know, helped me with these to showcase them. But also at the same time, I get to see what the difference is between how you loop and hence the how do you loop. So it is a whole world. And it's not, you know, someone said, oh, you know, is looping sort of phasing out? Absolutely not. Look, there's more and more people signing up to the course than ever before, my courses, because they want more than just a guitar and a microphone, like an acoustic guitar and a microphone. Mm. They want a little bit more. Or there's people that were just like, they've got like a full band sound, like a backing track, but they want to generate it themselves, or they want to trigger it themselves.
Mm.
So there is definitely lots of different avenues for looping.
Sure.
I feel like I've talked a lot.
So it's all interesting stuff. So what, with the Shearing Looper, I mean, I know that's obviously, you know, we all know why that's come about. So what is so different about that? What is it doing that the others are not doing?
The Shearing Looper was kind of born from the Headrush Looper board.
Yeah.
And then Shearing Loopers, the company, as it were, brought out the Plus and the X, and the X is the big one.
Mm.
First of all, those pedals are insane. They are incredible. It's not the Headrush Looper board.
Mm.
So it looks very, very similar in the terms of the I.O. And the 7-inch touchscreen, but the way you use it has got some real differences. The big one really is the effects. So the effects that are built into it are tied to the track.
Mm.
So for example, I've got one where the second track has got a bass effect on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to then go to the second track to record and turn the effect on. It's already there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just got to go to the second track and hit record and go.
Mm.
I don't even have to, if I've recorded on the first track, what's really clever is I can just go to the second track and record is still open and just switches tracks.
Right.
Now both the RC600 and the Shearing Looper can do that, but because it's got that effect already built on there, you can be super quick. The pedals are, I can't stress enough, are fantastic.
What's they going on with the technology of the pedal that makes it so appealing?
It's die-cast aluminium. The angle is at about 15 degrees, and it's cantilevered.
Mm.
So as you're pressing it down, it's not a switch that you're doing that. You're doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it's so big. In fact, I mean, give me one sec. It is a monster. So,
yeah,
and it's very heavy. That's the only thing. So, because these pedals are sort of stepped I can do that in my socks.
Yeah,
they're heavy, but they're easy to press, and they're incredibly well built.
Mm.
But because they're die cast and they're cantilevered, you'd have to push them far to make the thing happen.
Yeah, like a very short reach.
With effects pedals, if you press a distortion, sorry, let me just put that down. With effects pedals, if you press a distortion pedal and you miss, you go, oh, well, and you press it again. Maybe that's a second and a half. You go, oh, damn it, bang, and you press it again.
Mm.
With a looper, if you miss, you've messed up your...
Yeah, the whole thing.
Potentially messed up your performance. Yeah. If you mess the performance up. And I've done it. I'm human. You know, I've done it. Where I've pressed a button and it's gone to the next thing and it wasn't meant to, or a while back I did a gig, I pressed a button and deleted the whole thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's because I was like, oh no, it's not the right memory. And that was my fault because it was muscle memory and I forgot where things were. So to have something with such a big footprint like that pedal is fantastic, because it makes you very confident of where things are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of why those pedal toppers came out, because it was the little switches, the little silver switches that you get on most pedals.
Yeah.
No one really. I don't know anyone who likes them, like, you know, normal switches. So having people go for pedal toppers. So that's just a big pedal topper that's cantilevered. Yeah. So very, very clever.
Yeah.
So the Shearing Loop is fantastic. I'm still using the RC600 as my daily.
Yeah.
That is my daily, mainly because I've had it longer and I've customized it a lot.
Mm.
So to when you switch loopers, any person who uses loop pedals will tell you there's a fear of, I've bought this pedal, I've got a gig on Friday, it's Monday, that's not enough time. It is an instrument that you need to kind of relearn.
Remaster.
Where is that thing that I had on the old one? When a lot of people went from the 300 to the 600, the first thing they complained about was actually the start stop was in the middle on the 300.
Yeah.
It's in the top right-hand corner of the 600.
Yeah.
The amount of people who've been playing with that pedal for 11 years...
Yeah.
It came out, well, it's now longer, but like 11 years, we've been going muscle memory, 400, 300 gigs a year, pressing that button, and now I've got to go over there. So they did this amazing thing with the R600, which is you can customize those buttons to be anything you want.
Yeah, that's the
solution. So those buttons could be anything. So, yeah, so that is a really, really big thing. The one thing it's missing is harmony effects that pick up the guitar signal. That's why I've still got the TC Helicon.
Yeah.
But the R600's damn near it. If the R600 had the Shearing Loop X pedals, I'd be sold. I'd be done.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
The other thing that the Shearing Loop X has that the R600 doesn't is that beautiful 7-inch touchscreen, which for editing and customizing stuff makes it an absolute dream. There's no menu diving for routing, which is what happens in the R600. So there's pros and cons to both. When it comes to looping, it's still all down to timing, no matter what you're using.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got into doing the YouTube channel. What made you do a YouTube channel? How's that going? What else are you up to? Some of the courses you're putting out there and that sort of stuff.
I started a YouTube channel very early on in 2007 because, hey, I'm a musician and I'll put my performances up there and I'll get signed, just like most people thought. I used it for promos, I used it for getting gigs, and that's about it. And it didn't really do YouTube in inverted commas.
Mm.
I start getting asked questions. I started doing Facebook Live. I did Sunday Songs with JP, and I just played my cover set list.
Mm.
And I used my phone. I used a couple of adapters. I have a degree in music technology, and also my dad's a sound engineer. So where I grew up, where speakers were around me and cables, that was normal to me, and mixing desks. I was like, yeah.
Mm.
So being able to connect things and stuff isn't an issue when it comes to audio with me, really. And I started getting questions from local people, like local friends, musicians. How come your audio sounds like this? Why does my audio sound rubbish and yours sounds like that? So I started getting all these questions. So I started putting up, here's how you connect your phone to an audio interface.
Yeah.
Here's how you do this. Here's a microphone. Here's a cheap microphone to use it with it in case you don't want to take your SM58 out to a gig.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started doing that. So I was working full time. I've always worked in... pretty much, apart from the one odd job, I've pretty much worked in retail most of my life. And I've always gigged. And then I had a random day off in the week because I worked in retail. My wife worked Monday to Friday. So it was like, well, I'm just sitting here. Like, I could play games or watch Netflix or something. But I thought, well, I'll just make a video and go, there you go. And I sent it to someone. And they were like, you should post that. I was like, oh, okay, I'll post it. And then you start realizing that, you know, there's tag lines and there's, you know, thumbnails and things like that. And I wasn't a video editor, although I did enjoy making the videos. And then I kind of started going, do you know what? I'm going to start having a look at this. And I got to about 700 or 800 views, and I got a contact from a music distributor to say, look, we've seen your channel. Would you showcase our company? And we'll pay you.
Mm.
And I went, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
So then that kind of happened. And then the second thing that really, really hammered it home was I made a video. There was wording in 2020 about a virus going around, as we all know.
Yeah.
We just moved into a new house. And about a month later, obviously, we went into lockdown. But just before then, I did a video which was how to live stream for musicians, a step-by-step guide.
Mm.
That video went viral for me, not viral in the millions, but it certainly went viral in the sense of what I was doing. It skyrocketed above any video I ever did, because it was a bit of a, weird, horrible, yet perfect storm moment where all the pubs closed, all the bars closed,
yeah.
and everyone wanted to learn how to live stream and then found my video.
Yeah.
That video paid for our wedding.
Right.
So that was like, huh, okay. So, and basically with that, I was like, okay, I'm going to carry on doing this once a week. And then it got to the point where I was running out of time. So I dropped a day at the retail store, and then I did 2 days a week here, and then I was doing 4 days a week there. And so, and then that went on for a little while, and my wife kind of went, you realize you've been working kind of sort of 6 days a week for like 3-4 years. I was like, wow. And then the channels just started going, and then I was very, very lucky that an old friend of mine from a music store actually works for Boss and Roland. So then we were talking about this new pedal that was coming out, and that happened to be the 600. So I was able to get sponsored through that. I was able to get a channel sponsor, and I worked damn hard to make sure that like that it didn't look bad to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
So it's kind of grown from there, and then this year, 2025, taken the decision after doing a lot of number crunching and a lot of panicking at the age of 45 to quit the day job and do YouTube full time. So I'm now doing YouTube full time. Yeah. And my only regret is that when I launched the YouTube channel, I just want to just take the DeLorean time machine, go back in time and
slap
my face around and go, do this. You need to do this now. Do this now, and you'll be one of the big OG YouTubers.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
but it is a very niche YouTube channel because it's about it's not about music, it's about for musicians. So it's about looping, it's about live streaming for musicians and also the tools. So we talk about cameras, we talk about editing, we talk like music editing, we talk about microphones. But then the big things really are looping and live streaming. Now, the other side of it was a friend of mine who is also a YouTuber said, you know, you extrapolate what you know and build a course about it. So there's a, I was looking at like course platforms, and there was one course platform that was doing a deal, and it was basically 3 months for $99. And I was like, yeah, go on, I'll do that. And because it was an American company, and I thought, if I make $99, I've done it. So I did this vid, this one, which is a beginner's course, which is called How to Loop Like a Pro. And I thought, well, if I've made that money, great, no problem at all. I told people about it. And then day one, we got just shy of 10 grand. And I was absolutely blown away. I got a massive imposter syndrome in the sense of, why do people trust me? Like, why are they listening to me? And there was a video that someone else had done, and someone put a comment on it, and I saw it because I didn't have the product at the time, and they said, this is all well and good, but I'm going to wait for the British guy who does looping to tell me what it's like. And I was like, and then he tagged me, and I was like, oh, that's how I found out about it. I was So you get this massive thing of like, you don't, you know, YouTuber, in inverted commas, you know, you think of like a different generation, you know, TikTok and things like that. But there's an amazing community of people who are incredibly kind, incredibly lovely, and it's a fantastic thing to do. Where if you know something, if you know how to do something, and I'm not talking about getting to, you know, the Ed Sheeran, you know, sort of like Katie Tunstall level, but if you know how to go from like doing nothing to, I could show you how to loop with and get your first gig with it, doing it. There's a market for that. If you know how to do something like show people how to play slide guitar, or you know how to chain up your effects, there's an entire ecosystem there waiting to be like take your hand off.
There's an ethos there that people think that, you know, well, everybody knows this already. Why should I bother doing it? But, you know, they don't know it already, and people are always looking for a new take on it or a new opinion.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's not one cooking show on the telly, is there?
That's right. And, you know, when I do the channel, my channel's a little bit diverse, really. It's not very niche at all. It should be much more niche than it is. But I like covering people who've got like something interesting going on, something that's a bit different. I'll do a review of an artist, or I'll do a review of a bit of kit. And when I do the music reviews for artists and the website and all that sort of thing, it's sort of, and they tell me, well, how much do you want for it? And I say, well, I don't want anything really, actually, at the moment, because I just do it, you know, and they kind of don't believe you almost. And I say, I haven't got millions of followers, but I will offer you a shop window and I'll put your product in my shop window. That's it. If anybody doesn't buy it or doesn't want to buy it, that I can't control that.
The thing is, though, like I'm one of those people where like there's a couple of things, like from there's a YouTube element and there's a musicians element, and I sit in the sort of crossroads of that, and there's a lot of things that are similar, which are like I've got a new single out, cool, brilliant. How much did your guitar cost? $2,000, great. How much did the recording cost? This, cool. Are you going to spend $1,000 on marketing? No. Like it absolutely shocks musicians that are going to spend any money on marketing whatsoever.
That's right.
Or YouTube adverts, or you know, or Facebook adverts, or anything like that. But they'll happily spend the because they get to play with it.
Yeah,
because
it's
something tangible. So it's one of those things where, well, that's the whole thing. What you used to be able to do for signed, and there is a new music generation now where people don't want to be signed. They want to release their stuff, which is incredibly easy to do. It's never been easier to release stuff. Actually, you can just sign up to a company, release stuff, and that's it. It's there. But no one knows it's there. So it's not having an audience, it's telling people about it. So, you know, if I said to you, right, cool, well, I've got a billboard that's next door to the M25 and it's $1,000 a day, but you're going to guarantee get like 50,000 plays, would you do it? Yeah, of course you would.
Well, that's
absolutely. Right, if that's what you're in. So if you want, but the problem is people don't see the money come back straight away. So music game's a mad, mad thing.
Yeah.
But with YouTube, YouTube's very, very similar. Like YouTube has this added advantage of people can go, I'll subscribe to you and I'll like you. It's like, as I said, liking your favorite cooking program.
Yeah.
But if I suddenly, if I do looping and music stuff and music tools, if I suddenly did a review on dishwashers, people would probably leave. So it's you are a channel, you are a program, a TV program, as it were. That's the way I look at it. Your channel is your program, and I see that now, and it's taken me a long time to figure that out. The great thing about it is that as out of it has come, I've made some great friends through YouTube. I've made some great things. I've been able to go to Copenhagen. I'm going to America later this year. There's some amazing things that I would never have done. Had I just gone, do you know what? No, it's okay. I won't do this. I'll stay in the comfy paid job. So it is difficult and it is risky. But there's also massive reward for it if you can do it.
Definitely.
I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you don't need that much. I mean, recently I did a video, nothing special, a little pedal for the Boss Guitar amp, but I was struggling to upload the firmware. And I did it, and I thought I'll just do a 5-minute video on how to do this. And I've probably had more comments on that than lots of other videos. Because people say, do you know what? I just couldn't figure this out. Now I've sorted it. Thanks very much. And you don't need... somebody's benefited from it and they're happy. They've solved their problem, haven't they?
Yeah. So. There's a phrase which is answer simple questions, answer questions simply or something like that. And it literally is just like solve people's problems.
Okay, cool. So to wrap this up, what's next for Loopers? Where are we going next? What can we expect to see, in your opinion?
What's coming really now is more, I think, more creativity. Mm. And I think that, like, one thing that's happening a lot with looping and looping pedals specifically is a company will bring one out and they go, right, there it is. That's the kind of hardware. But we're going to keep developing the software and the firmware. And sometimes that's a great thing. Sometimes it's like you get a product and you're like, this isn't even ready. Like, it's not ready to come out. It's almost like they've released it too early because it costs them too much. So what's great about that is it gets developed, and there's more things to come with things like that, which I really, really like. There's kind of a new wave coming back for MIDI with the Morningstar pedals and, you know, being able to control MIDI in a new way. I'm really enjoying that at the moment. I'm seeing that. So and things like that are pretty cool. And being able to just basically solve an issue for... I've always looked at live music, but then there is a whole thing for live streaming as well. And then for me, as I said before, full-time on YouTube now, we have just done... I've just literally started 2 days ago a big sale on our courses. So I'm building the Shearing Looper X course at the moment, and then that's got a big 40% off at the moment. And then I've got courses for the RC500, the RC600, and then my beginner's course, which is called How to Loop Like a Pro. At the moment, they're 20% off, all three of them, on my website. So that's just got a code, which is summer 2025 on the website. As I said, you're going to put links underneath this video.
For sure.
If anyone wants to check them out and come and learn looping with me, you're more than welcome.
I'll be picking out a couple of the videos and dropping them in some little sections into this anyway. See what they're all about. But certainly appreciate your time, John. It took a while to get to it, and it was good to see you at the guitar show. And I hope you'll be there next year as well.
I will.
We can hook up and chat about more loopy madness. See what's come to greet us in the new.
I'm going to message them, see if I can actually do a talk, or maybe I'll do a performance or something. I'd be well happy to do that. The thing with looping is loads of people want to do it, and then it's that kind of dark, dirty corner that people just don't want to ask any questions.
So anyway, John, great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Hope it all goes well with your new mission, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you very much. No worries. Thanks for having me.
See you later, bud. Bye-bye.